Welcome to another episode of the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live and your host. And with me from different corners of the state, from Spokane, we have Dan Dickow, SB Live's preeminent basketball mind, host of the ISO Podcast, as well as the prodigal son of Tacoma. He's your pal and mine, Todd Millis. Gents, how are we doing this week?
Things are great. It's no snow on the ground over here in Spokane. We had a 50-degree day the other day. It's starting to make me think that we're almost done with winter, other than Punxsutawney Phil saying, nope, six more weeks.
Just been busy carrying out my prodigal son duties here in Tacoma.
We got to get Punxsutawney Phil on as a guest to this podcast. I really liked what he brought to the table this week and every year, I guess. So
I'll tell you this much. He can probably bring more to our podcast than some of the coaches we've had on.
Wow. Direct fire at coaches. So Dan, I should say, I appreciate you taking a break from teasing Gonzaga fans out on this schedule on Twitter all week. That's been a fun saga to follow.
Oh, it has been. And you know what's funny is everything that I tweeted was 100% correct and accurate. The game was canceled Thursday. I was asked to call the game that was the new game on Thursday. That then got moved to Friday. And then in the middle of the night, they switched it back to Thursday. And because of the timing issues and needing to have COVID testing for announcers, the game is now being called with analysts back in New York as opposed to on site or even at home because the truck capability is not set up for the announcers, myself and Rich Waltz, who were supposed to call the game. So it has been fun kind of messing with a lot of Gonzaga and college basketball fans' hearts and emotions right now this week.
Well, it's certainly a roller coaster in the college basketball scheduling this year, and things are figured out in real time. And we're gearing up, see how it goes at the high school level with football starting in practice in two regions. But later on in this podcast, in this episode, Graham Moody joins. He's a 3A state golf champ, won it as a freshman, Mountain View in Vancouver, third place as a sophomore, and he didn't get the chance to compete last spring because state was canceled, but he won districts by 12 strokes. He's a Wisconsin commit, so stick around for that interview because they actually just competed in a jamboree on Wednesday. So golf is back into the swing of things at the high school level, which is great to see. So we brought you this podcast weekly since the high school sports shutdown, and each week we talk about a new way that athletes are being impacted or making the most of the hand that they were dealt during a pandemic that has impacted so many. And we've covered the state's return to play efforts. As of now, sports are back in two of the state's bigger regions on the west side. Football games start in the West and Puget Sound regions. Can you guys believe it? Next week, 1 week from Friday, football's back. So no kidding. So Todd and I are just kind of pinching ourselves this week going, wait, we might be covering football after 11 months of not covering really much of anything. So in honor of that, I wanted to kick off our podcast this week talking about a tradition that took place years ago before the WIA held state championships, held state playoffs. Back as early, you know, starting back, dating back to the 70s, the 60s, earlier than that, the high school state football champ was not decided on the field up play. It was decided by the Associated Press and the media, which it was called a mythical state champion. No playoff format. So Todd and I thought it would be fun to ask coaches across the state this year if there'd be interest in doing a method like that when no state playoffs can be played because of the pandemic. Before we get to that, Todd, could you set the table for us? What do you know about this old format and the way that a champion used to be crowned here in the state of Washington?
Yeah, I mean, you can go back to the turn of the 20th century, and that's how things were decided, both at the state level, and I'm sure that ran rampant around all states, but at the national level as well. So you could go back to 1910 when the first national high school football champion was crowned, and it was crowned on a ranking system. Now that has expanded greatly over the years. I mean, now they use up to what is it, six sets of national rankings to determine their national champion. They've tried to get a national championship game together to no avail. It's difficult, obviously. You guys would know, trying to plan something like that. But that's what they did. That's what they did in Washington too. So Sid Otten, the all-time winningest football coach from Tumwater, who retired here a few years back, he has one of those mythical state championships, 1971 in Colfax. I'm sure he's not going to give it back. I'm sure Lee Bofko at Wenatchee, who won three, you know, those mythical state champions, is not going to give it back, or John Goodwin at Seattle Prep. But, you know, fortunately, it seemed like the 70s seemed to be a decade where a lot of state associations looked at a state tournament format for football. And fortunately for us, you know, Henry Ribas, who was the executive director for the WIA back then, went along with that. And since 1973, we've settled that stuff on the field. But yeah, it's interesting that to ask coaches, you know, in a year we're not going to have a state playoff, you know, would you be satisfied if we did it the old way? And a lot of these coaches are from the state playoff era. So Andy, you could probably go into some of the responses that we got.
Yeah, no, it was a funny exercise, because I initially, kind of reading through, I thought it was split right down the middle. Yet there were about 26 coaches who answered the question that were in favor, and 19 roughly that were not in favor. And the ones that were not in favor were very much not in favor. We had one coach say, no, it was BS back then and it would be now. We had...
The question I have would be why. I mean, are these coaches, is there an ego thing to them? I mean, if this is truly all about the kids and getting them back playing right now and providing an opportunity and some excitement, this should be a no-brainer. Let's make sure that, you know, it's done as close to normal years as possible in crowning a state champion, even if it isn't, you know, the way that everybody's been accustomed to over the last, I think you said, since the early 70s. You might as well make it as normal as possible of crowning a state champion.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Dan. So that's kind of a reaction. That's an interesting reaction to what the coaches are saying. But if we put ourselves in the mind of the athlete, if you're an athlete and this is your, you know, say your senior season, if not even your senior season, and you had a chance to be voted a state champion in this format, would that be good enough in a year like this?
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is this year. And again, you kids have had so many things taken away from them over the past 11 months now, almost 12 months. Why not have the next best thing of a crowned state champion, but through votes, as opposed to playing it out on the field? I think the biggest question would need to be is who is on this voting committee, and how qualified are they? Are they going to do their homework? Are they going to watch game film? Are they going to watch, or are they going to connect with the right people that have seen these games in person? Are they going to talk to enough coaches? And I think if the question becomes, or the answer becomes yes, the voters have watched games, whether it's in person if possible, or they've watched them on film and they've talked to enough people. If that's the case, let's do it. That's the best that it can be this year. Let's make that happen.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I've always thought, researching history over the years, when you look back to the 1900s and you get to the 40s when World War II happened, and there's that gap of no champion being crowned, and then we get back to when people are playing, it would look very odd just scanning WIAA state championship history, and then all of a sudden 2020, 2021, it says no state championships held because of pandemic. I mean, we have enough tools now. I mean, we'd have to do it for every sport. And I think most coaches around the world of Washington high school sports would be in favor of this, I would assume. But we have enough tools to do that. Like you said, Dan, we have huddle film, and we have RPI system. We have reporters, you know, statewide reporters, hometown reporters. I mean, we could figure out a way to form some sort of criteria with a selection committee. And at the end of these shortened regular seasons, we could sit down and go, okay, who's the best team in football? Would it be perfect? Of course not. I mean, people would complain, you know, if, you know, with our choices, but in terms of if we could crown something like this and people could look back and say, oh yeah, you know, O'Day was the best team in 3A. I mean, I think most people around the state going into the season would think that. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, it's a crazy year. Let's have some crazy out of the box ideas. I've said that a number of times on this podcast.
I think the general thing that would be it's the kind of the general pushback to this is comes from the school of thought that, hey, if it can't be determined on the field, then it shouldn't be determined at all. And I think at the end of the day, some coaches are just always going to believe that. But you guys are both right. I mean, the table has been set also for committees like this. We've had 2 years of the football playoffs now being seated by committees made up of experts. And some of the best experts across this state are coaches. They're the best historians of the sport and pay attention and have a wide range of contacts across the state. And most importantly, understand football really well. So I agree with you guys. I think this could work. I do think that you'll have a tough time getting everyone on board. That being said, but there's some teams this year that, you know, hey, you're playing a 5-6 game schedule. If Royal runs the table in a 5-6 game schedule, they're going to be the state champion. There's not going to be much discussion that's needed. If O'Day runs the table, it's the same thing. And you could say that about any team in the Metro League, whether it's Eastside or what. So a very interesting discussion. I'd be interested of the listener. If you guys have any thoughts on this, please reach out to us on Twitter. All three of us are there. We'll be happy to read out any response on next week's podcast. But before we jump to the interview with Graham Moody, a Mountain View golfer, I want to ask Todd you a question, because you and I covered signing day yesterday. It was the National Football Signing Day. It took place on Wednesday, and it's a weird year for recruitment, for signing, and it was certainly an oddball year and maybe the number of kids that we had signing, and especially some of the higher profile ones had already maybe made up their minds. But was there a story of a signing that took place this week that stood out to you out of all the kids who did so across the state?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have a heart for the small school guy. And, you know, I happened to talk to Mike Morgan at Colfax, the football coach. And he had told me about Jacob Brown. They're really good running back, but equally good linebacker. And I know that he was considering College of Idaho, where his two brothers went. One was an All-American and had a sniff at pro football. Being kind of the youngest kid in that household, he, you know, it's interesting how sometimes you just say, hey, you know, if it was good enough for my brothers, it's good enough for me to go there. And College Idaho offered him a scholarship, and he signed with them yesterday. I as of the weekend, he wasn't, but he did sign with them yesterday as a linebacker. So that family legacy continues there. So that's kind of a cool story for a 2B kid to follow his brothers to a particular program. A lot of Brown stats will litter that record book here in Idaho.
No question. Go Yotes. So you can find that coverage of signing day, a list of all the names from big schools to small across the state of football players that signed on our website, our Washington homepage, scorebooklive.com/Washington. That's going to be your home for all of the three of our work covering high school sports across the state and beyond. So thank you both for your time and perspective today. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Mountain View's Graham Moody joins. I want to take a moment to tell you about our friends at Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, drive-up ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking, and Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington. The folks at Washington Federal care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the state of Washington and beyond. Head to wafdbank.com to learn how Washington Federal can help you meet your financial goals. That's wafdbank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. I'm excited to welcome on to the podcast. He's a senior at Mountain View. It's a 3A state champ, Graham Moody. Graham, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to catch up.
Of course, yeah. So you guys, I'm just now learning this as we started talking before we started recording. But you know, you guys actually competed today in a jamboree. Golf, obviously, as we record this, is one of the first sports to get the green light after, you know, nearly 11 months of high school sports in Washington being shut down. You guys are in this first season as sports start to return. But you started practice last week, and you guys are just now getting a jamboree under your belts. After all this shutdown and all this time away from your high school team, how has it been to be back in that team setting?
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, it's something ever since that shutdown in March, it was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. We were always in the back of our minds looking forward to that senior season. And, you know, with all the uncertainty surrounding high school and sports, you know, it's really awesome to get this opportunity. And, you know, the senior season is always something you really look forward to, kind of going up through middle and high school. You know, the thought of not getting that opportunity was is something that was it would have been a tough pill to swallow. And so now that we're finally here and back with the guys and just being able to share these kind of closing memories and closing moments is just something we're you know, super grateful for.
So the state is split up into 8 regions in this reopening plan. And 2 of those regions, as of a couple weeks ago, have reached phase 2 of the reopening plan, which for most high school sports means that they have the green light. For golf, you guys can compete in phase 1. The Department of Health's allowing competition in phase 1. So you guys are a go, but you got that news, when that was announced, there wasn't necessarily, you weren't expecting the season to start as soon as it did. What did it feel like, hearing the news, hearing that golf got that green light?
It was awesome. I was at the golf course, and a couple of the local high school coaches are members there. And so, you know, they were all kind of around and just like the joy on their faces. And I know everyone was super excited for the kids that were there. Like, we were all just kind of sharing that moment of just like relief that it was finally going to happen. And, you know, it kind of went with the ups and downs of the changes that they made to the restrictions. And obviously with everyone's health and safety in mind, and just doing what they needed to do on their end to make sure everyone stays safe. And so being able to find a way to get these competitions underway is just awesome. And everyone's done a great job of communicating what needs to happen. And so, yeah, it was awesome. It was super exciting.
So I could read your resume, your golf accomplishment list, but that might take up the rest of the interview. But you were a 3A state champ as a freshman, is that right?
Yeah.
Finished 3rd as a sophomore, and were on track to you know, potentially win again as a junior. Your guys' season gets canceled. You had won districts by, you know, a really wide margin. But what, you know, lots of athletes on this podcast that we've talked to and just throughout the last 11 months have really struggled in team sports like basketball, like football, just being able to replicate competition, you know, and replicate kind of that live action. But golf as an individual sport, it's pretty pandemic friendly. What was that feeling out process right in the early days of the pandemic? Were you immediately kind of, when everything shut down, did you kind of keep going, or was there a period of time where you kind of had to kind of wait things out like the rest of us?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it was probably a period of about 5 or 6 weeks. Did the quarantine, didn't leave the house, ended up ordering, you know, you can go on Amazon, get one of those like hitting nets. And so I, you know, got one of those, my brother and I backyard, just hitting around, just, and I think at the end of the day, getting that kind of reflection period and, you know, something I never thought, you know, anyone thought we'd have to go through, getting that whole new perspective. And when we were finally able to get back out there, it's just the best feeling in the world. And that kind of carrying that new perspective throughout the summer definitely helped. And whatever the ups and downs were, you know, we're just out. I mean, we were out having fun on the golf course, which is something for about 5 weeks. It was just like, I give anything to go out and be safe and go play some golf. So, yeah, it was a really difficult 5 weeks. I mean, you go from playing every day with your buddies to, you know, you don't see anyone for 5 weeks. And, I think the growth over that time period definitely just is something that I'm going to carry with myself for a long time. You know, so hopefully, obviously no one ever has to go through that again. That was just, you know, unprecedented, but trying to turn the negative situation into something we can kind of grow from has been very helpful for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people as well.
As some of those athletes from other sports are trying to kind of make up for the lost time, do you feel like, you know, with what you've been able to do within the sport and getting back out there, especially after that first stretch of quarantine, have you been able to make the progress just from a technique standpoint and get kind of the reps in that you've wanted to?
Yeah, you know, there's something to be said for just taking a break altogether. And there was a couple weeks, I think it was probably, you know, 1 or 2 weeks where I just put the clubs away and focused on other aspects. You know, it was a transition school-wise, keeping the grades up. AP tests were kind of rolling around. And so the, you know, the growth after those 2 weeks, you know, you definitely get a little physically, your game's not where it would have been had you been practicing. But I felt that mentally, the perspective and the rest was very helpful. And then the summer schedule, just from an individual standpoint, is pretty chaotic and pretty busy. A lot of travel, a lot of, you know, no flying this year with the restrictions and all of that, but just traveling or locally to some of those events. It was definitely tough. I mean, it's tough to go from having all the confidence that you can build throughout the practices, and, you know, coming out, you know, you don't know what to expect. Everything feels different. Everything looks different. And being able to slowly get back into the swing of competitive golf, even before the tournaments, with just playing with friends and really spending a lot of time practicing, is something that really allowed me to not be too set back with all the with all the time spent away from the game.
I know, just for golfing recreationally, you know, now, at least since the pandemic, there's, you know, early on there were rules about, you know, don't touch the rake, you know, leave the pin in. I think that part has sustained throughout. But what, at least in tournament play, were there any just minute changes, or did any part of a competition look different?
Yeah, you know, you kind of lose the whole social aspect of just, you know, it used to be you go with your buddies, you can go like rent a house, which now, like, all of that stuff just sounds ridiculous after all this time kind of away from that whole social aspect. And being a pretty social person, you know, I love those interactions in the restaurants and at the hotels. And that was definitely something that was tough personally. And a lot of people, I think, struggled with, just because, you know, it's when you're there and you're at those tournaments, it's, you focus on the golf for those 5-6 hours throughout the round. And then having something to do outside of the tournament, just to take your mind off of, you know, some of those pretty stressful rounds, that was definitely lost. I think the whole golf, throughout the rounds, it wasn't too different. You know, we were even allowed to pull pins. You know, you could take your glove or your towel for at most events, which was nice, because you can't currently, they're still not allowing that. But it was nice at some tournaments, you know, you kind of get back into the pulling the pin out, which at the end of the day is so minute compared to everything else that it's like, you can't really worry about that too much, because I mean, it could be a lot worse, because I know a lot of other sports can't even compete or practice. So yeah, it was just a lot of fun trying to enjoy it.
Yeah, man. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, obviously golf is a huge part of your life, but a lot of people in this pandemic have either, you know, reinvigorated a love for golf, or have picked it up as kind of one of the things that you can, you know, really do. So you were, like I said, your freshman year, you came in and won the 3A state title. As a sophomore, you placed third, and you were, I think, 12 strokes, won the district tournament by 12 strokes as a junior. Did I get that right?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Okay, so at the risk of sounding incredibly dismissive, what exactly this junior year, or this senior year, in a year where the season's not going to look the same, it's not going to be a traditional state championship, what exactly is there to play for?
Oh, you know, being able to play through the 4 years with Coach Peterson and Willie and Tyler are probably the three most, you know, they've been around – they're going to be around for those 4 years, and the relationships that we've developed on the course, off the course, is something that, you know, looking back, going off to college, you know, you want to have those memories that you can look back on. And we go into everything. That's kind of the mindset we want to have, is go into everything trying to, you know, put our hard work and, you know, you put it in outside of the tournaments, and having that to be able to, carry with you into the events is something that we always want to be able to show, and just trying to have a good time. It's always fun to be able to play for your school, because it's such an individual sport, getting to play for more than just yourself, which is something I'm really looking forward to in college, because it's much, much more team oriented. But yeah, just being able to like have those like big memories, small memories, everything is just incredible.
I'm glad you brought up college. And you, so you signed with Wisconsin in the fall. You've got your, is that Wisconsin hat you've got on? Go Badgers. So when do you head off to school, and what do you anticipate being the biggest jump from high school to the Big Ten?
Oh yeah. So probably head back. I have a lot of family in the Midwest, and so probably spend most of August over there, just getting settled in, getting used to the climate. Playing golf over there it's very windy. Yeah, I mean, our first event comes like a week after we move in. And so qualifying for college golf is much different than high school golf. Because, you know, throughout high school golf, you pretty much have your top five guys. And for the most part, the top three guys are pretty much set, and you'll have some movement on the four or five. But with college golf, even on like some of the lesser teams, and especially with the higher level teams, you got 10 guys who can make the lineup. And so the qualifying for those events is, I mean, it's just as intense, if not more intense, than an actual tournament, because you don't want to be the guy who gets left behind. So that's definitely something I'm preparing for, and trying to treat those like tournaments. And on top of just the whole moving away from home, I'm lucky enough to have my roommate actually lives in Madison. So he's going to be the other freshman coming in. So he lives there currently, nice. Which would be very nice to have his family and him and his friends already to kind of adjust with. And it's looking like there's a couple other friends that I have from over here and that I've met across that are going to move to the Big Ten, and a couple to Madison. So being able to have people and have connections over there already will be helpful, but it's definitely gonna be tough to just jump straight in.
Yeah, no question. Well, Graham, I really appreciate your perspective, and I'm glad that you guys have gotten this good news of a good season. I hope that that you make the most of it with your teammates at Mountain View. So thank you for joining the podcast.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.